Thank you, Chonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. And as usual, I would like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru today appeared in public for the first time since the expulsion from ZANU-PF last year and said she's ready to deliver political change in Zimbabwe.
We have a lot of things that we are working on right now. And I don't have anything that somebody would have done bad to me.
War veterans say their crunch meeting scheduled for Thursday might be postponed to Friday to accommodate an emergency ZANU-PF Politburo meeting set for Thursday.
And the MDCT says it is disappointed about the ruling party's failure to devolve power to provinces.
3 years since the adoption of the new constitution of Zimbabwe, still we don't have the provincial councils having been put in place. The Urban Councils Act has not been amended.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru today appeared in public for the first time since expulsion from ZANU-PF last year and told a news conference that she was ready to deliver political change in Zimbabwe. Thomas Chiripasi has details from the capital.
Addressing a news conference in Harare, Mrs. Mujuru, who is leading the newly formed Zimbabwe People First Party on an interim basis, said she was ready to get Zimbabwe out of its social, economic and political problems. The former vice president said a coalition to unseat President Robert Mugabe's government was necessary. However, she noted that negotiations with other political parties were yet to start.
We will cross the bridge when we get there. I don't believe in doing things when we are not yet there. We have a lot of things that we are working on right now. And I don't have anything that somebody would have done bad to me.
Mrs. Mujuru's remarks confirmed earlier assertions by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai of the Movement for Democratic Change Party, who told reporters last month that the coalition talks were yet to begin. She also called for key democratic reforms to be implemented ahead of the 2018 polls to ensure that the elections do not breed a predetermined outcome. She, however, fell short of saying the 2013 polls were rigged by President Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party, adding that policies that scare away investors, such as the Black Economic Empowerment Law, should be reviewed.
The people of Zimbabwe voted for a new democratic constitution in 2013, but it is still to be fully implemented. In line with the new constitution, we need the electoral laws reformed to ensure a free and level playing field. It is the government of the is the government of the day looking at this. The suffering masses, through their political representations, need to make this point loud and clear so that the next election is not in any way disputed or considered flawed or rigged so as to deny legitimacy to any outcome thereof.
The former vice president said she would work flat out to ensure that Zimbabwe rejoins the Commonwealth.
Zimbabwe People First is committed to ensuring that Zimbabwe regains its rightful place in the global community of nations. We shall rejoin the Commonwealth.
Zimbabwe pulled out of the Commonwealth in 2002 after it was accused of election rigging and rights violations. Mrs. Mujuru further said a steering committee has been set up to spearhead People First inaugural elective congress that would be held on a date yet to be advised. the former vice president, who was accused of corruption and plotting to assassinate Mr. Mugabe, said their hands were clean, hence the police have not arrested her. Asked by one journalist of her relationship with Mr. Mugabe following her expulsion from both ZANU-PF and government, Mrs. Mujuru said her business is to focus on key national developmental issues than to talk about other people. She added that if Mr. Mugabe, who turned 92 last month, was to come face to face with her, she doubted if the nonagenarian leader would recall what he said when he called her a witch.
For those that are talking about the so-called cases, it's now more than 18 months since those were labeled against me. No docket has been brought forward. I don't know what that means to you.
Upon getting out of the hotel where she addressed journalists, Mrs. Mujuru was surprised to see hundreds of her supporters singing outside. Mrs. Mujuru then told her loyalists that she would work hard to uplift their standards of living and called for an end to politically motivated violence in Zimbabwe. One of her supporters, Nesta Chikore of Harare's Budiro High Density Suburb, said she was happy that the former vice president had formally joined opposition politics.
I am very happy, more than happy. I cannot even tell because I was waiting for this day all along.
Another youth, Christy Okanoshambira, who supports Mrs. Mujuru, said she also expects a leader to push for the creation of jobs if she becomes president one day.
As the youth, we accept the coming in of Comrade Mujuru because we know that we are now going to be able to find jobs.
Diplomats and other notable political figures such as Didmus Mutasa, Rugare Gumbo, Ibo Mandaza, Dzikamai Mavaire, Bright Matonga, Sylvester Nguni, retired Major Kudzai Mbudzi and Pearson Mungofa attended Mrs. Mujuru's press conference. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Reacting to Mrs. Mujuru's official entry into political landscape in Zimbabwe, ruling party lawmaker Joseph Chuma said they are ready for the Zimbabwe People First Party.
I don't want to read too much into that because I don't belong to that party. I belong to ZANU-PF, and we are always on the ground trying to do that. So, look, I am not qualified to comment on their assertions and the party's assertions. Their policy is their baby. They will deal with it. We'll see them as we go. They've entered the ring, so we're there in the ring together. But otherwise, ZANU-PF is not stopping. We are going on. We are pressing on. We have always been about the people anyway, and we will always be about the people because, after all, it's a revolutionary party for the people, by the people.
So are you ready for her as well?
If she comes in, by all means. We have seen the worst nightmare. We have seen a party that was literally run by the British. That was the MDC under Tsvangirai. It was an extension of Tony Blair when it started, and we held our own and we managed to come out unscathed. Yes, it was a rough one, but look, if we have survived a British-sponsored party like the MDC that came in, I don't see why we should lose sleep over any other party that comes in. That's the democracy. So I believe in democracy, and so I believe that there's nothing unfair about that. Let them come in. We are ZANU-PF. We are the Revolutionary Party. We are going to always be there.
That was Joseph Chuma, a ZANU-PF lawmaker, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Meanwhile, analysts weighing into today's official launch of Mrs. Mujuru's Zimbabwe People First shared mixed views, with some applauding the move, while others described it as yet another opportunity for ZANU-PF. VOA's Ndimiake Mwakalele reports.
The official launch of Zimbabwe People First did not come as a surprise to many who had been keenly following former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's build-up to this moment. Now that the party is officially here, and now, as Mujuru said, analysts are weighing her chances of defeating President Robert Mugabe in the 2018 elections. Senior consultant Pierre Pigou of the International Crisis Group says today's announcement is significant.
Certainly it's an important contribution to the evolution of Zimbabwean politics. But really the major issue is whether this party is able to organize, mobilize in the communities around Zimbabwe and is able to get its support base to register and to participate in the electoral process.
Zimbabwe-based author and publisher Ibo Mandaza said he has no doubt Mujuru is a force for President Mugabe and his party to reckon with.
It's definitely a game changer. So it is a very significant landmark.
Mandaza says while there have been other breakaway parties from ZANU-PF in the past, Mujuru's party stands out.
You get Tekere, the Zoom, and then you have Sindamakoni with Mavambo, and now Joyce Mujuru with People First. This is the most momentous and also one of the critical mass, even though inadvertent, in the sense that it is something that was landed them by the actions of Mugabe and his wife in 2014, whereby some 85% of ZANU leadership was purged. Is that the leadership that has constituted itself into this critical mass?
The fact that Mujuru was purged from ZANU-PF, as put by Mandaza, as opposed to voluntarily leaving for the benefit of the betterment of Zimbabwean people, presents a problem for her, some analysts like Clifford Mashiri say. Mashiri explains that while Mujuru is a formidable candidate and her entrance significant, her biggest challenge is explaining to the public that she was not the cause of their suffering while a part of ZANU-PF.
Definitely, her image is very much tainted by her participation in a regime that, you know, cost the people's lives, others would argue, through these massacres of people in Matabeleland, in Chiadzwa, and all these election murders, they occurred under her watch, some would argue.
Not all analysts, however, are supporting Mujuru's decision to form her own political party and try her hand at defeating President Mugabe. Political commentator Brilliant Mtlanga of the University of Hertfordshire in the United Kingdom says she is now just created more confusion.
The more political parties we are having, the more we lose opportunities and chances of actually dislodging ZANU, because more political parties are being born and they are dividing the electorate. It doesn't help anything.
Mtlanga also dismisses the possibility of a coalition, saying many of the country's opposition political parties are seeking personal power rather than sacrifice for the national good. Pigou, however, says a coalition between Mujuru and Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa could be a winning ticket, but with Mugabe at the helm, all possibilities are slim. Reporting for Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimyake Mwakalielie.
For more details on this issue, please visit our website at www.voazimbabwe.com. Coming up,
a Bulawayo company is planning to set up a $60 million business complex in the city.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Judges at the International Criminal Court in The Hague began considering arguments today on whether to open the court's first ever war crimes trial targeting the destruction of religious or cultural heritage.
Forbes magazine has published its 2016 list of the richest people in the world. Microsoft founder Bill Gates again tops the list with an estimated net worth of $75 billion.
Osama bin Laden, who ordered the 2001 Al-Qaeda attacks in the United States that killed nearly 3,000 people, claimed in his last will to have about $29 million in personal wealth, most of which he wanted spent on jihad for the sake of Allah.
The 2016 race to be the next president of the United States has its most important day so far as candidates compete in 11 states. Voting has begun in a series of contests with Republican businessman Donald Trump riding a three-state winning streak and favored in 10 of the so-called Super Tuesday states. The key will not be how many states Trump wins, but how well Ted Cruz and fellow Senator Mark Rubio perform. For Democrats, a CNN poll released Monday shows former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton widening her national lead over Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders 55 to 38%.
And U.S. President Barack Obama is hosting Senate Republican leaders today to discuss his planned appointment to the Supreme Court. The nine-member court has an opening following the death of Justice Antonin Scalia last month. The Secretary General of the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, Victor Matemadanda, says their crunch meeting scheduled for Thursday might be postponed to Friday to accommodate an emergency ZANU-PF Politburo meeting set for Saturday. The last attempt to hold the meeting on February 18th was disrupted by the police, who claimed they had not authorized it. Party insiders say the party is meeting to try and address the factionalism pitting two bitter rivals, Tim Lacoste, allegedly backing Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, and Generation 40, backed by the Young Turks and First Lady Grace Mugabe. Tensions are said to be high in the ruling party after there was a report of yet another break-in at the new government complex offices of Vice President Mnangagwa last night. If the break-in is confirmed, it will be the fifth such attempt. For more on the War Veterans Indaba scheduled for the City Sports Center, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reached Matemadanda.
I'm out of Harare at the moment. I've been told that there will be a police bureau meeting on Thursday, so I advise my fellow comrades to sit and see if it is possible that we continue on the Thursday date or we postpone to Friday.
So did you meet again all the security ministers this time around?
Well, it's not meeting them, but it's communicating. Communicating, that is not even very formal, because don't clear meetings at that level, but you communicate, you talk to say this is what we are doing and so forth.
There are reports that Mr. Sekeramai is saying that you must not deviate from your agenda. Whatever you do must be in line with ZANU-PF policies. Is this what you are going to do, or is this what you have agreed to do?
Well, I will not want to talk about that. The fact that you are saying Mr. Sekeramai, that means he was not speaking to us. He was speaking to you and maybe other media fraternity. So we don't get instructions from the media. And on this one, I won't comment further.
How about these reports that the senior leadership of the war veterans did not attend Mr. Mugabe's birthday bash?
Which senior? Because the chairman was there, many national executive members were there.
Was Mr. Matemadanda there?
I was attending a funeral at home. But you realize that it is me who conveyed the congratulatory messages.
And that was Victor Matemadanda, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Gokwe in the Midlands province. Still on the war veterans meeting, war veterans want the government to set up a military commission. Our Harare correspondent Ivan Chifera attended a press conference addressed by Matemadanda yesterday to set the agenda of the war vets meeting, and he gives us this report.
At a press briefing late Monday afternoon, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Liberation War Veterans Association, Victor Matemadanda, said the main objective of the meeting would be the setting up of a military commission that would, among other issues, advise the ruling party and the ruling party's politburo and help protect the country's legacy. Matemadanda said this commission won't be unique only to Zimbabwe, as other countries such as Tanzania and China have similar institutions with similar roles. Mandi Chimene, chairperson of the other faction of the former Liberation War veterans, was not available for comment on whether they subscribe to the idea of the proposed military commission. Asked whether war veterans were coming up with the recommendation because the party had allegedly lost direction, Matemadanda said it was meant to strengthen it.
It has not lost the way, but it must be rejuvenated.
Independent political analyst Fortune Gwazi said their timing of the proposal was questionable, as the war veterans seem not to agree with the goings-on in the ruling party.
by forming this joint commission, it's in a way of, you know, trying to close those loopholes or trying to direct this ship in another intended direction.
He, however, said the war veterans are likely to succeed in what they are looking for, taking into account that their patron, President Robert Mugabe, who threatened Mutsvangwa for organizing an illegal war veterans meeting a week ago, has given in to most of their demands, including the formation of former fighters' ministry.
Something that they have already, or if it's something that is not in tandem with the interests of the presidium itself, then that proposal may be shut down.
Media Center Director Ernest Muzengi said there was really no national cause for such a military commission, given that there was a full cabinet ministry to deal with their issues.
If this was a really needed commission, surely they should have talked about it long back.
Defense Minister and ZANU-PF Secretary for War Veterans Sidin Sekeramai is quoted in the state-controlled Herald newspaper as saying the meeting should be held in the spirit of unity and discipline. Experts say Sekeramai is simply reiterating Mr. Mugabe's recent speech following the disruption of an earlier meeting which was supposed to be held on February the 18th and his birthday speech in Masvingo at the weekend. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The MDCT says it is disappointed by the ZANU-PF government's deliberate efforts to allegedly frustrate and sabotage the concept of devolution that is provided for in Zimbabwe's constitution. In a statement, MDCT spokesperson Obed Gutu says Section 264 of the new constitution calls for the devolution of governmental powers and responsibilities. But 3 years after the constitution was adopted, the government has not yet complied with the constitutional requirements. Gutu tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri, MDCT lawmakers will very soon make what the party calls some noise in parliament to make sure that the constitution of the country is not only obeyed, but is also seen to be obeyed.
The MDC is not seeking to reinvent the wheel. What we are basically stating is that the constitution of Zimbabwe, in terms of section 264 and section 265, calls for devolution of governmental powers and responsibilities, basically saying that there shall be devolution of governmental powers and responsibilities whenever appropriate, and that governmental powers and responsibilities must be devolved to provincial and metropolitan councils and the local authorities which are competent to carry out those responsibilities efficiently and effectively. This is provided for in the constitution, so we are calling upon the ZANU-PF government to say this is almost 3 years since the adoption of the new constitution of Zimbabwe. Still, we don't have the provincial councils having been put in place. The Urban Councils Act has not been amended or overhauled to harmonize it with the provisions of the new constitution, i.e., to ensure that there is the metropolitan province of Harare chaired by the mayor of Harare and the metropolitan province of Bulawayo chaired by the mayor of Bulawayo.
That was the MDCT spokesperson Obed Gutu in Harare speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
The city of Bulawayo, that has borne the brunt of factory closures over the last few years, will soon see a $60 million shopping mall going up at the Ogodini commuter omnibus rank. Construction of the state-of-the-art mall under a build, own and transfer agreement is expected to start in 2 months' time. Under the BOT agreement with a local developer, Terracotta Trading Private Limited, the mall will be handed over to the local authority after 2 years. Commuter omnibus operators and vendors using the rank were last year given 2 months to vacate the place. We spoke to Councillor Mlandu Ncube, chairman of the Finance and Budget Committee, who says the development marks a new beginning for the city of Bulawayo as the project is expected to generate more than 1,000 jobs.
This mall is going to be a very big mall and a very wonderful one, and everyone will admire it. It's expected to start, the construction, we expect the construction to start in 3 months' time, because currently we are being held. We have said to those who are leasing council shops around there, vendors and IT operators with the notice of termination of lease, so that we preserve the contractor. And this 3 months is where will be is the time that we give for these guys to go and test where we are putting them. I mean, the shop owners, there is Red Cross there. There are so many organizations that are surrounding the Ekotin. So this is what is working.
Are the vendors and combi operators welcoming the move?
We have met all the stakeholders. You know, everyone, it's not that 100% will say yes or no.
We understand that the mall is being built under the build, own and transfer mode of construction. Can you give our listeners a sense of what is this and how it works?
What we did with the Ekotin thing is that we really sat down as council and we saw that this place needs an uplift, we needed to redestroy it and rebuild it and do a modern thing. So then we looked at our financial status and we saw that no, we cannot be able to do it. So then we advertised for show of interest that if anyone wants to partner council in rebuilding that. So Terracotta was one of the companies that really responded to the tender. So it got the tender, and now what the terms of the agreement is that Terracotta will build, and when it is built, it will then operate that thing and getting revenue so that they raise the money that they use. After a certain period, which I cannot disclose now, but I know it was not written, after that period, the Terracotta returns that facility to the city council so that it takes on, the council owns 100% of it after those years. But it doesn't mean that during that time, council is not getting any revenue. So some the usual things that the person pays to the local authorities, such as rent and such things. So that is what is going to happen.
Now, seeing that Bulawayo has had difficulties under these economic conditions where factories have been closing down, are you going to use this method of development in other parts of the city?
Yeah, we think if that thing is modernized, because you know what makes business grow is the matter that is the surrounding community up to standard with the world. So when that mall is up to current standards and the needs of the people who are investing, we think I don't see anything wrong by a very big supermarket coming to open there, some shops. You know, we hope this upgrading will bring investment to the city.
And that was Councillor Mlandu Ncube, Chairman of the Finance and Budget Committee in the Bulawayo City Council. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo.
Stay tuned for Studio 7's live talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our host of The Connection, Ntungamili Nkomo and Tatenda Gumbo, will be speaking with listeners and experts about unemployment in Zimbabwe.
Now to recap today's top stories.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru today appeared in public for the first time since the expulsion from ZANU-PF last year and said she's ready to deliver political change in Zimbabwe.
War veterans say their crunch meeting scheduled for Thursday might be postponed to Friday to accommodate an emergency ZANU-PF Politburo meeting set for Thursday.
And the MDCT says it is disappointed about the ruling ZANU-PF party's failure to devolve power to provinces.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.